I'm gonna have to turn the phone. Okay, I think we're good. Okay, all right, you guys go inside. Oh, I just lost her. What just happened? All right. Okay. Are we back on? Everyone can hear me now?
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay, good. All right. Sorry for the little bit of a difficult circumstances right now. We're having a blackout right now where I am. So we're trying as best as I can to give the shia from inside the car. It's the only source of any light at this point. Okay. So we'll get the show go hopefully as long as we can. My phone's going to may die. So we'll see what happens. Okay. But hopefully we'll be able to get in the shia. I just felt like not to be able to say Shia tonight on Tu B'Av is so not appropriate here. The Gemara tells us in Rav Basra that when the nights start to get longer, Tu B'Av is the beginning of the night getting longer, and one daf has to learn extra at night. So to be revatal the Shia Kavu on the night of Tu B'Av is not Shaykh. So we'll try his best. Okay, so we really left off last week. We were talking about the sugya of Dover Sheinu Miskaven. We're talking about the Machlekes HaTanoim about Dover Sheinu Miskaven, whether it is a problem, not a problem, and the Chushabes, and Kol Terakula, and the Torah, and the Rabbanon. And what we got into it was the Gemara Masechah Sukkah, where the Gemara quoted a Machlekes HaTanoim about if a person wants to pluck the berries off a Hadassim on Sukkis, but not necessarily for the purpose of being Machshid Hadass, but rather what the person wants to do is he wants to eat the berries. So there's nothing per se wrong with eating berries on a Yom Tif. The problem is that by doing so, he's going to be leading to the being machshir, to making the hadas into a kosher hadas. Hadas that has too many berries on it is a problem. So that's the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Lamed Gimel Beis told us that according to Beloz Rebbe Shimon, it's okay. And the reason why it's all right to do that is because it's called a Dover Sheinu Miskaven, because your intent is not to be machshid hadas, which the Gemara raised the question, even though your intent is not to be machshid hadas, isn't it a psik resha? You're going to be machshid hadas. And the Gemara concludes that, just one second. Did it get a little bit too dark for the Olam or no? Okay, it's a little bit better. Okay, fine. Okay, so the Gemara tells us that even though it's a psikresha that the person is going to be machshid hadas, but that in and of itself isn't a problem because isla hadas macharit, isla shana macharit. The person has another hadas, has another set of hadasim, and therefore it's not a problem. And now the multi-million-dollar question becomes: why is that not a problem? Why is it the fact that he has another hadas? Why does that somehow solve the problem of psikresha? If you really believe that psikresha is a problem, so then why is having another hadas going to solve that problem? So that's really what our issue is tonight, to try to figure out what is it about the owning of another hadas that somehow mitigates that problem. So in order to understand that, we have to learn together with sugya in Masechah Shabbos, Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. Those able to follow along in the Gemara, there are two Mishnayos on the daf, but it's the upper Mishnah on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. So it's in the Gemara, it's the third line into the Gemara, it starts with HaMenachesh, that's at the end of the line, Tanur Rabbanan, the end of that line. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes the following braisa: HaTolesh Ulshin V'Mezarei Zeradim. If a person plucks out the Ulshin, a person plucks out different kinds of herbs or something, he detaches from the ground, or a mezarid zeradim, if a person plucks out of the ground different kinds of reeds, so he's potentially over the malacha of kotzer. So says the Gemara, how much do you have to be to harvest? How much do you have to detach in order to be chayev? So the Brisa says depends what your purpose of of using this item is. So the malach of kotu has a shear to it, there's a certain amount that will make you chayav, depending on what your usage is, that's going to impact what the shear is. So imle achila, if your goal is to eat those roots and eat those herbs, then kigregeris, then the shear is kigregeris. The Gemara tells us that there's a halacha mosh mesinai, that all food-oriented malachos, so the shear is always kigregeris, is always the size of a dried fig. So if you collected enough of these herbs and other kinds of foods to the amount of gregeris, then you're going to be chayav. Im lebehema, if your goal is not to eat it yourself, but rather to feed it to your animals, and then come up to the yagdi. So then the shear is a different shear legamrei. It's the amount that will fill up the mouth of a gdi, of a goat. Im lehesek, if the amount, if you try to use these items for firewood, then the shear is totally different. Then the shear is not gregeris, not kibbalot gagdi, but rather the shear is the amount of wood that's necessarily to cook an egg. In the opposite, the karka kolshe. But if your goal is to improve the karka, namely you're not really interested in using these items, but for eating or for animal food or for firewood, or rather you're trying to improve the ground by ripping out these extra growths together and impacting on things you really want to plant. So then the shear is kosher. Then even the smallest amount would pose a problem. Why exactly is that? Where did that come from? So that's a big machlekes apayskim. Just before we even get to our topic, just had to reach out this braisa. Why does to improve the karka change everything drastically? So there's a machlekes. Is the Gemara even talking about the malach of kotzer now? At the beginning of the braisa was clearly talking about kotzer and was giving us different shurim for kotzer. And now the Gemara is changing to the opposite of karka. So some apayskim say, but the Gemara means to say that your goal is the opposite of karka, that it's not an issue of kotzer, it's an issue of chayresh. It's a different malacha legamre. It's perfecting the soil, improving the soil is legamre a different malacha. So if that's the malacha, so the shear of chayresh happens to be a kosher, even the smallest amount. So comes the Gemara and says that if you're doing kotzer, then there's shearim, animal food, human food, firewood, etc. If you're doing chayresh, this is legamri a different shear. The shear is kol shum. The others are saying no. That the Gemara is not switching melachas right now. The Gemara is sticking to the melacha of kaitzer. But the Gemara is saying is as follows: that where will the shum come from? Why is there a shear for animal food, for human food, for firewood? What's pshat? A shear is always a way to determine chashivas. The shear is always yet to determine just what's considered to be how much is considered to be significant. So we measure significance by what your intention is. So if your intention is for human food, then there's a certain shear to the significance. If your goal is animal food, then there's a different shear. And if your goal is to improve the land, then there's a different shear of chashivas. But your agenda, what you're trying to accomplish, does not change the malacha. We're still talking about malachas kaitzer. We haven't changed malachas over here. We're just not focusing on the higher degrees of significance. But we're still in the parish of Malachas Kotzer. It's just that if you have a different purpose, then the Malach of Kotzer shear goes down. So yeah, that's a nuance of a difference. It's a very important issue when you learn Sugis of Chayrish and Kotzer, etc. So that becomes a critical dimension of the Sugya. But for our purposes, it's not so critical. For our purposes, the bottom line is that the shear is going to change. So, but now comes the Gemara and says, wait a second. If you're going to tell me that the opposite of karka, the shear goes down, either because of chorish or kaitzer, frag the Gemara kasher, otu kulo the opposite of karka, no. Isn't all plucking of these reeds and all plucking of these herbs always the opposite of karka? The bottom line is the karka will be, which with the word is mup, the car, I don't think that's the correct conjugation of Hebrew. The karka will become yoth, the karka will become improved, whether you were planning on doing it or not. So ask the Gemara, how could the Brice ever tell me that there's a higher shear of Kugregeres, of Kropia Gedi, Hesek, etc.? Typically, that any and every time you pluck out these reeds and you pluck out these herbs, you are improving the quality of the karka. So why isn't that always going to be a violation of the shear of Kol Shu? So how could the Brice give you a story about that there are different shiurim? What do you mean different shiurim? It's typically, it's always going to be the low. You're always going to meet the low level of shear. So it says the Gemara, Rabbi of Yosef Demetrivah Ba'agam Shano. No, we're talking about a case where there is no land to be improved because it's taking place in a meadow. It's taking place in a marsh somewhere where you're not going to plant it anyway. So there's no improvement. Abayi says, no, says, no, we're talking about the field. It's a plantable field, but you are not planning on planting. So you are not, you don't really care about the improvement. So Abazoy, that you don't care about the improvement. So then it falls under the category of a davar she'eino mistaven. So that becomes a big question. Wait a second, davar she'eino mistaven, that's our sugya. So it's on that that the Gemara questions. The Gemara says, wait a second. What do you mean you're going to hide behind davar she'eino mistaven? Isn't it a psik resha? You know for a fact it's going to happen. Answers the Gemara. It's talking about somebody else's field. And therefore, somehow, for some deep, dark secret, that's not covered by the parsha of Psik Resha. I can't have your Gemara. So we now have two Gemaras on our hands, everybody. So we have Sugya Masechah Sukkah Daf Lamed Yomo Mebeis, where the Gemara puts the brakes on, the Gemara puts the brakes on...
Rebbe?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
So Psik Resha only works on something you own?
That's exactly what we're trying to figure out. So the Gemara is clearly telling us some kind of limitation, some kind of limitation under Parsha Psik Resha. So one Gemara in Sukkah is limiting Psik Resha by telling me that Psik Resha doesn't apply when I have something else available. That was the case of the Hadassim. I have other Hadassim available. Now we have another Gemara that's telling me that Psik Resha doesn't apply when it's not my field. So what's the common denominator here? What governs Psik Resha? When is something Psik Resha? When not? Until today's shiur, I thought that Psik Resha meant any time that I'm doing X and I know for a fact that Y is going to happen. I thought that was classic. That's how I would normally define Psik Resha. That's classic Psik Resha. So now we're saying no. Now we're saying that just because I know for a fact something's going to happen, that doesn't necessarily translate to me it's going to be a Psik Resha. There are other conditions that have to be met. The question is, what are those other conditions? What is going on? What is the common denominator of these two sugyas? So Tosfos on Kuf Yom Aleph and Shabbos quotes the famous opinion of the Sefer HaOruch. The Sefer HaOruch was written actually before the days of the Rishonim. It was written by one of the Ga'onim, Rabbi Nosson from Rome. And Rabbi Nosson is quoted by Tosfos, Kuf Yom Aleph, Tzricha de Orim Avid Chavrei, Perush Ba'oruch, the Psik Resha lo nichale, going to ka'ovid bi ara de chavre, comes, tells us, and says, the day of the Oruch, it's what's called the Psik Resha lo nichale. Namely, I don't really care about or not, don't want this to happen. That's called the Psik Resha lo nichale. So, comes the Sefer Oruch and says, when you have a Psik Resha that you're not particularly interested in happening, so that somehow is not a problem. And that's what both of these Gemaras are referring to. Now, if that's the case, so then I understand perfectly well why in both sugyas it's Takalo Nichale. It's not Nichale in Shabbos Kuf Gimel because it's somebody else's field. I don't care about his field. It's not Nichale in Sukkah Daf Lamed Gimel because I already have another set of Adasim. I don't even need this Adasim. So according to the Sefer Aruch, there's a cloud gadol that's permeating both of these sugyas, that a Psik Resha delo nichale is not considered to be a problem. Psik Resha nichale is permissible. So comes Tosfos, and there's a long, 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 many, many kashas against the Sefer Aruch. And basically Tosfos says, if you take a look on Kuf Gimel and I'll continue on the Tosfos, we're going to skip a little while. We're going to skip down. The first word line is the Ka'amr. It's just about halfway down the Tosfos. The first one on is the comment. The comment, "Lo tzricha d'avim v'ar d'chavrei, haydu d'lo michayev chatos, aval isura ika." Says Tosfos that the Gemara never said that a Psik Resha d'lo nichale is permissible. All the Gemara in Shabbos said is that a Psik Resha d'lo nichale is not an issur d'oraisa. Because remember, the topic of the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Gimel was, is the person chayev or not? When you're talking about chayev is a d'oraisa d'ketav. So vis-a-vis a chiyuv of chatos, the Gemara is saying that, by the way, if it's a Psik Resha lo nichale, it's not going to be an issur d'oraisa. The Gemara never said it's going to be mutar. There's no such Gemara, at least not in Shabbos Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. So now we have a further machlok is now developing between the Bali HaTos against the Aruch. When the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Gimel says that a Psik Resha lo nichale is not so bad. It's not a deraisa. Don't worry about it. You're not chayav. Comes to us and says, not only comes Yerach and says, not only not chayav, it's not even prohibited. It's mutar l'chatchila. And comes to us and says, lohayavam yelim. Not true. Lohayavam dirat such gemara. All the gemara said is that you're not chayav. But the gemara never ever meant to say that's mutar l'chatchila. So we have now a few pieces of information that we're collecting in this sugya. Number one, it's clear from the gemaras that psikureisha lo nichale is different from a regular psikureisha. That's clear from both gemaras and sukkah and the gemara and shabbos. Number two, we have a machlokes harishonim as to does a psikureisha lo nichale translate to mean mutter, like the Aruch said, or is it at least awesome in the rabbanan like tells us? That's the second akuda. And number three is we have to figure out, well, how do all the gemaras match up? Bein lefi ha'aruch, bein lefi ha'tosfos. We have a lot of work cut out for us in terms of this sugya. So we don't even really know why lo nichale mitigates psikureisha altogether. And we don't really know what the nekudas ha'machlokes between Tosfos and the Aruch is all about. Should it be awesome in the rabbanan or mutar l'chatchila? And we're not quite sure how any of the gemaras are going to match up. Bein lefi ha'tosfos, bein lefi ha'aruch. So we really have a lot of work cut out. So basically, we're going to really tackle the sugya on two different fronts. We're going to tackle the sugya both in terms of lomdas and in terms of rayas, in terms of what the underlying lomdas in this entire sugya is all about. So that's issue number one. And issue number two is we have to figure out what gemaras, if any, are going to shed some light on this topic. Again, we saw a little bit of gemara on Shabbos, a little bit of gemara on Sukkah, but we have a lot more to go, a lot more topics in the gemara itself to figure this out. So let's try to a little bit of just the beginning when I am in the sugya, and at least get a few wet, so to speak, in the sugya of psikureisha, particularly in the sugya of psikureisha. As a general rule, with the world of lumdas, which is in the world of life also, when you want to understand exceptions to a rule, you have to really understand what the rule itself is. If you don't understand what the rule gufa is, it's kind of hard to understand why there should or should not be exceptions to any given rule. So we're trying to figure out what the rule of psikureisha, the lo nichale, should be. We're trying to figure out why should there be a leniency of psikureisha lo nichale? But we can't even begin to understand that until we understand why there's been a psikureisha in the first place. Where in the world did psikureisha come from? Why is there even a sugya of psikureisha? What is it all about? The starting point is davar she'eino miskaven is mutar. If the rule is that davar she'eino miskaven is mutar, we spent a lot of time last week talking about Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. If the starting point is that davar she'eino miskaven is mutar, so then why does psikureisha change anything? So before we can understand why psikureisha lo nichale should change anything, should mitigate the Yisr, we don't even understand why the Yisr is there in the first place. So let's start literally from the very beginning to understand what psikureisha is all about. So there is a famous chakira that is presented by Rabbi Chon Wasserman. It appears in Sefer Kevet Shiurim. Rabbi Chon raises the fundamental lumdash chakira about what the essence of psikureisha is all about. Because if you think about it, every psikureisha should really be able to hide behind davar she'eino miskaven. Manishtana, when it's a psikureisha, that's awesome. So Rabbi Chon suggests two possibilities. He suggests one possibility is that what he does, Rabbi Chon himself obviously doesn't use these terms. I'm going to use these terms because that's really what he's describing. One way of understanding what a psikureisha is, we can call it, what I like to call it, the psychological trap. Namely, it's a question of mindset. What is the person really thinking? So why is a davar she'eino miskaven mutter? What's mutter about a davar she'eino miskaven? Why is it that a davar she'eino miskaven is mutter? So the answer is very simple. Because I'm not being miskaven. I'm not planning on doing it. That's not my goal, not my agenda. It's not what I want to do. But you can hide behind davar she'eino miskaven is that I don't even know that the resulting malacha is going to occur. But if I know for a fact the resulting malacha is going to happen, who are you joking? Who are you kidding? What do you mean you're not mechavin? Of course you're mechavin. You know exactly what's going to happen. For states, of course you're planning on doing it. If you're going to tell me I'm dragging a chair, I don't have a clue whether I have no clue whether a hole is going to be made in the ground or not. You want to say, I wasn't planning it. I wasn't thinking about it. It wasn't my goal. You want to hide behind davar she'eino miskaven? That I'm a cop. But if you know it's going to happen, for certain, it's what's called a psikureisha, it's going to happen. So who in the world are you kidding by saying that? No, I'm not really thinking about the outcome. I'm not really planning on doing the malach. But of course you're planning on doing the malach, because you know what's going to happen. So Dov Shen Miskaven is only mutter because it's lacking your will to do it. But whenever you have a psik ratio, so that will is built in already because it's muvan mielam. It's in your deeper recess of your psychology, in your inner psyche. Of course, you're planning and doing action. That's also because you know what's going to happen. Well, maybe that's not the chal of shah. That maybe the whole institution of psik ratio has nothing to do with psychology, with the mindset of a person. What a psik ratio is as follows: that psik ratio is that halachically. The two actions merge and fuse to become one. Why does Dov Shem Miskaven Mutter? We spoke about this already last week. Why, 2 weeks ago, why is Dov Shem Miskaven Mutter? Dov Shem Miskaven Mutter is because I'm doing A and I'm not really doing B. But what if A and B are not separate and distinct from one another? What if A and B are literally connected to one another? What if A and B are one and the same? If A and B are one and the same, then who are you joking? Who are you kidding that you're not intending to do B? B doesn't exist as a separate. And if B is not in a vacuum, B is part of A, and A is part of B. If you want to call that, it's called A, B. It's not called A, period, next paragraph, B. It's called Maisa A, B. If that's the pshat, that the two Maisa have fused to become one, then obviously you can't hide behind Dov Hashem Miskaven. So what is the essence of what created psikratia in the first place? Was the engine that's driving psikratia the psychology of the gavra? Well, the engine that's driving psikratia is the unity of the maise. Is it? We'd love to have a gavra versus chepta. We don't have that for tonight. We have a gavra versus maise. Is it in the mind of the gavra the two have become interchangeable, or in the mind of the maise, in the longness of the maise, the two have become one and the same?
What is an afkamina between the two? Either way, you're still doing.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there. We're leaning into it. We're getting there. Okay. So my nafkumina, as they say. What do you say? A chakir without a nafkumina is this thing. Okay? So my nafkumina. So Rabbi Chon explains he has a nafkumina. What if I do A, and I know for a fact B is going to happen, but quite frankly, I couldn't care less whether B happens or not. It's lomale, the lomerit, it doesn't interest me, it doesn't bother me, it doesn't concern me. I couldn't care. Mamish couldn't care less whether B happens or not. It says Rabbi Chon. If you hold that psychratia is rooted in psychology, it's rooted in mindset, it's rooted in the person's intent, that the person really, truly is planning on doing it. So he says, wait a second. We could say that makes sense if the person wants it to happen. So then you could argue, if I really want it to happen, so then my mindset is on both. Okay. My initial plan was not that. My original agenda was not to do B. But tachas, I know B's happening. And I'm very happy. I'm satisfied with B happening. Everything's good. It's all great. I'm thrilled with B happening. If that's the case, that I want it to happen, I'm happy about it happening. I know it's happening. There's no suffering about it happening. So then the psychological analysis says, guess what? You have your mind to do it. You can no longer hide behind Dov Hashem's cap. But the minute that rotzon breaks down, the minute that it's what's called, and here's the phrase, psikratia delo nichalei, the minute that I really don't care about it, either because I really don't, literally, actively don't want it to happen, or even if I don't care one way or the other, if tachlis, bottom line is, it's not a nichalei, it's not something that I'm really, really have in the back of my mind, thrilled about, so then what kind of psychological, what do you mean? What kind of buber mind says that? We're assessing that you really want it to happen. Rabbi, I don't want it to happen. We are telling you want it to happen. That's not true. And we could force you, we could say, we could look you straight in the face and say, come on, you really do have in mind that if it's not something positive to you. But if it's something that's not positive to you, you really, tachlis, we know you couldn't care less about it. If that's the case, that we know you couldn't care less about it, so what do you mean we're psychologically saying you want it? You don't want it. So says Rabbi Chanan, if all of psychratia is rooted in psychology, so the answer is, when the psychology breaks down, then the psychratia breaks down. And a psychratia de la michale in lomdus is nishke psychratia. The very engine that drives psychratia, the rotzon ha-ha-oise, is lacking, is nishke psychratia. And guess what, everybody say? If it's nish psychratia, what is it? But it's not a psychratia, you know what it is? It's a dov Hashem Miskaven. Everything is a davar shenemar kam to prove it otherwise. So kol zman that it enters into the world of psik reisha, then everything changes. But kol zman that it hasn't ended, it's flown short and missing the criteria of psik reisha, because it's the minute that it's lacking the criteria of nichole, so that it's not an obscuration, it's blight, it remains. So it's exactly what the Aruch holds, that obscuration of nichole is muta lechatchila shel bechatchila. It's muta min haTorah, it's muta min haRabbanan. There's absolutely nothing wrong whatsoever lechatchila shel bechatchila doing obscuration of nichole. You know why, says Rabbi Chanan das Aruch? Because once it loses the psychological factor, it falls back into its original category of davshir miskavin. As a davshir miskavin, it's not a lechatchila. That's the yisod of the Aruch. Says the Buchanan, obviously Tosis disagrees radically, because Tosis says that psikreishal nichle never became mutter. There's no gemara, no such thing, no such animal, no such entity called psikreishal nichle being mutter. All the gemara said in Shabbos Kuf Gimel was that psikreishal nichle is not awesome in HaTorah. That's all the Gemara said in Shabbos Kuf Gimel, is that it's not awesome in HaTorah. Not being awesome in HaTorah and being mutlachid is a far cry from one another. So what's Pshat, says Rabbi Chanan? Tosas understood the other Pshat in Psik Reisha. Psik Reisha has nothing to do with the Kavanah Sa'ad, nothing to do with the psychology, with the ruts on the will of the agenda of the person who's doing the Merach. You know what Psik Reisha is? Segregation means it's one mindset. Segregation means that the two actions emerged to become one. That's what a segregation is. The actions emerge to become one. And therefore, it doesn't make the slightest bit of difference whether the person wants the action be or doesn't. If the actions are one, then they remain one. So wait a second. If that's the case, so why isn't it deraisa? But Taisa is guilty of overkill. How could the Gemara say it's out of deraisa? So take a look at Taisa's Shabbos Kuf Gimel now. But now the next Taisa. It's a one-line Taisa. The Ari Dechavri. One line on the bottom of Kuf Gimel now says Taisa, Peirish Dabi Malacha She'en Tzvich Legufa. In five words, Taisa said it all. Taisa says, you know why Psikreishal Nichalei can't be a deraisa? Because of a technical quirk. You know what the quirk is? The quirk is it happens to also be a Malach She'en Tzvich Legufa. Now remember, we spoke about this last week also. What is Malach She'en Tzvich Legufa? Malach She'en Tzvich Legufa means I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm planning. I know exactly what I'm getting myself into. But I'm doing it for a different purpose. I'm carrying a mace to bury the mace, not to use the mace. I'm digging a hole to get rid of the, because I want the dirt, not because I want to use the hole. Those are classic examples of Malach She'en Tzvich Legufa. Or I'm extinguishing a flame, not because I want to use the charcoal, but because I don't want the house to burn. Anytime I do a malacha, I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm planning what I'm doing. I'm doing the identical mitzvahs with done in the Mishkan, but I'm doing it for a different matara, a different purpose, a different goal. That is malach she'en tzvich legufa. Says Tosfos, if you think about it long enough, you'll realize every psik reisha de lo nichalei is also by default malach she'en tzvich legufa. It has to be. Because a psik reisha de lo nichalei means that I don't really want the outcome. I'm not doing action A, B because I want to, because I want to improve my field. I'm not doing action A, B because I want to kosher hadas. I don't care about another hadas. I don't care about watering my field. It's somebody else's field. It's lo nichalei. So whenever it's lo nichalei, it will automatically be covered by malach she'en tzvich legufa. So according to Tosfos and Lomdus as Rabbi Chanan, a psik reisha lo nichalei is not that it's not a psik reisha. It's 100% psik reisha. It's 1,000,000,000% psik reisha. It's a psik reisha gomor, but it has a ptur min achutz. What's the tangential ptur? The tangential ptur is malach she'en tzvich legufa. So it comes out, bein mati arach, bein mati ataisis, psik reisha nichalei is going to be potter. You can't argue with it. It's like you can't argue with it. So psik reisha nichalei is not going to be chayev. That's impossible. But wherein lies the ptur? Is the ptur neveya because it loses its status as psik reisha and reverts back to davashem miskavin? Is that the nature of the ptur? Or is the nature of the ptur, it is a psik reisha, but it's still potter. It's potter because of malach she'en tzvich legufa. So those are two very, very different worlds. Where does the ptur come from? Does it come from hilchas malach she'en tzvich legufa? Does it come from hilchas davar she'en miskavin? My nafkamina, all the difference in the world. If it comes from hilchas davar she'en miskavin, it loses its status of psik reisha and it reverts back to davar she'en miskavin. Guess what? Davar she'en miskavin is mutl lechatchila. There's no dirabonin on davar she'en miskavin. Malacha she had tzich legufa is still also with the Rabbanon. And that's exactly what this is. That a psik reish lo nichle is takas still also with the Rabbanon. There's no green light. There's no hetagama. It's not a free-for-all. A psik reish lo nichle. It's still blight. It remains in this of the Rabbanon. Malacha she had tzich legufa. So it comes out, says Rabbi Chanan, that this machlekes, Tais and Yoruch, is a fundamental machlekes, is a major, major, major machlekes in terms of understanding what psik reisha is. The real machlekes is what psik reisha is. Once you understand what makes psik reisha kick, what's the engine that's driving a psik reisha, then you'll understand why psik reisha lo nichle is excluded, and then you'll understand why it should or should not remain in Issa B'Terav. So Rabbi said, do we have any Gemaras that shed any light on this topic? So we have the Gemara in Shabbos, but the Gemara in Shabbos was not conclusive. Because all the Gemara in Shabbos indicated for us is that we don't have to reckon with a deraisa. It didn't tell me whether it's mutter or not. But the Gemara in Sukkah did, because the Gemara in Sukkah told us, the Gemara read last week, that you're allowed to pluck the berries to eat them. Allow means you're allowed. Malak did as a novim le'eichlam, it's okay because it's a psik reisha lo nichle. So wait a second. If the head there in Sukkah Lam Gimel is psik reisha lo nichle, so that isn't that tantamount about the same psik reisha lo nichle as mutter? It's mamish mutter. Not just not a chayin. It's mamish mutter. How do you get around the agamar and Sukkah and Daf Lam Gimel? So Tosfos has to address this. Gemara and Tosfos in fact does in Shabbos Kuf Gimel. Now back to the long Tosfos now. So back to the long Tosfos. So Tosfos says, "Miu Yeshlam." It's three lines from the end of the Tosfos. "Miu Yeshlam." To also tikkun muat k'mo miut anovim to lo oster elamid derabbanan lo gozer chacham kish eno nehane. Says Tosfos, this tikkun mana we learned about last week. You're not allowed to pluck off. Let's say a guy plucks off the berries to machshir adaf. That's mamish's agenda. That's his goal. Literally to make that das kosher. Is he chayef for that? Is that an issue of deraisa? Nah, it's not deraisa. It's only derabon anyway. Toz didn't explain yet one. It's a tikkun muat. A little teeny weeny tikkun, not a real tikkun. But Zoy says, since it's only a tikkun muat, therefore, an issue of derabonon, if done derech psik reisha lo nichle, that's okay. So Toz just said that to do an outright issue goma min haTorah derech psik reisha lo nichle, that we're not going to permit. That's blight, that remains an Issa Derabanan. But to do an Issa Derabanan, der psik reish lo nichle, that's not so bad. And Mistama, that's what the Gemara in Sukkah Lav Gimel was saying. So both Tosfos and the Orach are learning in the Gemara in Sukkah that the Matir is psik reish lo nichle. That's the engine that's driving it, but we're not quite sure what that engine means. According to the Orach, it means that it's driving it on its own merits. Of segregation on Nichalei is mutter lechatchila shel lechatchila shel lechatchila on its own merits under all circumstances, even if it would be a shilas of their isas being violated. There's no their isas. Segregation on Nichalei is mutter legamrei. Or do I take the watered 100 times down watered version? The Tosfos is saying that segregation on Nichalei fundamentally is awesome in the Rabbanon because it's a melachshe. It's a melachshe tzichle goof. It's not a nafshim miskaven. It's blight. It remains a segregation. The only reason why it's not a their isas is because melachshe tzichle goofa. And it should have been also in the Rabbanon. It really should have been in Sukkah Lam Gimel also in the Rabbanon. The only reason why we wiggle our way out of it is because since it's only a the Rabbanon here anyway, and it's a psik reish lo nichle, a psik reish lo nichle, the Rabbanon, all right, a few things combined together is neshke felach. That's what Tosfos says. So, l'chayra, there's almost like a piece missing in the Tosfos. The piece that's puzzled that's not here. Tosfos said, we go back to the Tosfos for a second. Back to that line, Tosfos said, the Isam Tikkun Muat. It's only Asam and Rabban. Said, Tikkun Muat. So I'll challenge you, and what's so muat about? What's so little about this Tikkun? I got a broken Adas. I can't use the Adas. It's possible. Possible that Tosfos got too many berries on it, the wrong colored berries, too many berries, more berries than leaves. I can't use the Adas. Plucking the Adas, bless the berries, nah, Nishkefelech. It's only a Tikkun Muat. Why isn't it Tikkun Gamu? What's Pshatim Tosfos? So the Mechas Chinuch suggests, Pshat Tosfos as follows, that the Melacha D'Oraisa of Macha B'Patish, of Tikkun Mana, Tikkun Kli, is reserved for physical Tikkunim. It's reserved for a situation where a person does something that that is a physical kind of a tikkun, that it was broken before, and now I'm fixing something that was broken. I'm screwing in a leg of a table. I'm hammering a nail into something. I'm fixing a broken path. That's tikkun kli method. That's machpadish derais. Here, what was broken about this hadas exactly? I challenge you. Go to a non from flower shop and ask them. I have this hadas with a lot of berries on it. It looks terrible. It's broken. I look like you're crazy. What's wrong? It's beautiful. It has so many nice berries on it. What's your problem? But I got to use it for sukkahs. I said, I never heard of sukkahs. I never heard of lulav. I know what you're talking about. So in the outside world, in the secular world, in the non-halachic universe, it's not broken. I think the phrase goes something along the lines, if it ain't broken, don't fix it. It means if it's not broken, then fixing it. Nishkin fixing it. So this is a very, very lumsy shaila. What defines malachas machmepatish? Is malachas machmepatish defined by the physical material, something that's physically broken? Was malachas machmepatish defined by, even if it's halachically broken, if it's spiritually broken, the halach also takes into account spiritual or being broken or not being broken items.
What about your own personal desires? Meaning whether it's physical or whether it's halakhic, I personally want that branch to be my hadas. Whether it's halakhic or not, if I take the berries off, I'm fixing that for myself.
Very good. Excellent. But the reality is that makim patish, there is a certain degree of notion of broken. It's even, I can't say it's broken. It's not broken physically. If you define broken in the physical universe, so what do you mean I'm going to say it's broken? You're 100% right that sometimes Lechol Shabbos is a little bit subject or sometimes a little bit object. We spoke about this on the Sunday morning shiurim. Let's say, for example, defining a kesher kayama, whether or not is permanent or not. So that's a shaila. Does that depend on what this person thinks? Depend on what the olam thinks? You have those kinds of shailas. But here, even klepe me, it's not broken. Even I'll concede, it's not that this hadas is not workable for me. It's no good because it happens in the first days. If it wouldn't be Sukkot today, if it would be Shabbos in the middle of Chodesh Av, so I couldn't care less whether it has too many berries on it or not. So at the end of the day, we understand now. We understand based on the Chinuch Chab that it's lacking in a physical break. It's not a physical broken, therefore it's not a physical tikkun. I understand Tosis. But truth to be told, not all Rishonim accept this Tosis. There's a Mordechai in the end of Masechet Sukkah where the Mordechai says, Itaka would be Deraisa. Taka would be Makom Patish Deraisa. Obviously, the Mordechai wouldn't give Tosis a solution to this problem. So, wait a second. If that's the case, it would be broken in the Torah, we would definitely have to search for a different answer, of course, tells us. But wait a second, is the Mordechai arguing this whole Mincha? Is the Mordechai saying that by spiritually broken is also considered broken? Is that really what the Mordechai is holding? Is that really true? Maybe it's possible. Maybe let's talk about maybe that is what the Mordechai is saying. So there's a problem with that. The problem is that it doesn't seem to be borne out by actually a Mishnah, the Gemara Maseches Beitza. Where the Mishnah says you're not allowed to toivel kalim on yontif, and the Gemara says that there's several reasons. One of the reasons, most popular reason probably, why you're not allowed to toivel kalim on yontif, is because tefillas kalim is misaking. Tefillas kalim is fixing something. The kli was unusable. It was tummy. I couldn't use it before. Or according to many Rishonim, it applies even to our kind of kalim as well. To kalim that were born for a goyim, you want to toivel in order to be mutter use them. Whatever the tefillas kalim that the Mishnah is was not talking about. I want to be toivel the kalim, so the Gemara says, you're not allowed to do that in Shabbos and Yontif. You know why? Because it's mechzek misakim. It looks, it gives the impression a little bit like you're fixing something. So, but the Rabbanan, it looks like you're fixing something that's broken. So it says in the Mechas Chinuch, wait a second, and why is it only looking like you're fixing something? Why isn't it really fixing something in a Torah? So the Mechas Chinuch says, a joke, because it's not broken. Since it's not broken physically, therefore there's no tikkun deraisa. So the Mechas Chinuch has a raya brua from that Gemara and Beitza. The Gemara says that Toivel and Kalim is at worst only a Derabbanan. Why is it only a Derabbanan? It should be a Deraisa. So you see from here, physical tikkun is a problem, spiritual tikkun is not really a problem in a Torah. What would the Mordechai do with this? So there's a big difference between the case of the Hadassim and the case of the Tefillas Kalim. It's true that both in the case of the Hadassim and the Tefillas Kalim, it's a spiritual repair, but In the case of the Hadassim, although the agenda of the repair is spiritual, the repair is physically recognizable. I can see a difference between Hadassim with bears and not bears. Again, it doesn't matter to them, Gracia Flores. It doesn't matter to me if it's not the week of Sukkot. But the change, the repair is noticeable, is recognizable. That's unlike a situation where, like in the case of the pot that I'm totaling, so no one can even tell the difference. It means the pot looks identical to the same. So there's a big difference in the two cases. The pot that was in Toivel, it mamish looks the same. Forget about not being a halachic change, halachic fixing. Nothing happened. I mean, if you have a halachic vision, then something happened. But if you can't tell if you're ice and had died, then anything happened. Whereas the plucking off of the hadassim, you can tell that something happened. It's just that the significance of that happening isn't all that important in the world of in the physical world. So when all the dust settles, the raya from the sugya in Maseches Beitzah is not an absolute, complete, and total ironclad raya. It's not absolutely muchach. So again, back to our sugya. So we had a Tosfos, where Tosfos said, according to the Aruch, I understand what the grace of Nichale is taka mutter lechetchila, and therefore it's mutter in Shabbos Kuf Gimel, and it's mutter in Sukkot Lamed Gimel. Everything is hung, everything's great. What's the lumdus? Rabbi Chanan's lumdus that it's not a psigration because it's lacking the person's psychological desire, and therefore it's not a psigration. If it's not a psigration, it's davshim miskaven. As a davshim miskaven, it's mutter lechetchila. According to Tosfos, whole other approach to the sugya, the whole lumdus is not correct. It really is a psigration. It should have been a nisa deraisa. The only reason why it wiggles out is because malach sheyitzif legufa. Malach sheyitzif legufa remains also midirabana. The engine that was driving Tosfos was not the psychological version of psigration, but rather the halachic fusion of maisim A and B together. And so now we raise the question, according to Tosfos, I understand the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Gimel, which is talking deraisa dika terminology, but according to Tosfos, how do you make sense of the Gemara in Sukkot Lamed Gimel? The Gemara says it's mamish mutter to pluck off the berries. So Tosfos suggested that the reason why it's mutter is maybe for a different reason. Maybe it's mutter because it's only a derabbanan anyway. So a derabbanan, psigreishla nichle, nishkefel. So a derabbanan on a derab, nishkefel. So we asked ourselves, why is it only a derabbanan? Very unclear. Tosfos said tikkun muat, we're not sure exactly what that means. So now we had a suggestion that maybe what it means is, well, it's only a spiritual kind of tikkun, not a physical kind of tikkun, and maybe that's ultimately what makes it into a tikkun muat. So we just highlighted the fact that the Mordechai disagrees, and the Mishnah Beis is not conclusive. So we still have a working shot, we have a potential working shot in this sugya. But Rabbi Isai, there may be a whole nother pshat in the Gemara Maseches Sukkot Lamed Gimel. Because remember, the Gemara Lamed Gimel was a tricky Gemara. The Gemara says if you have other hadassim, then you're good to go. Then you don't have to worry about anything. Then it's a something. So the Yoruch said it's a psikir eshal nichle, and there are abundance, everything's great. So there may be another pshat in the Gemara, and that's what Rashi in Sukkot Lamed Gimel says, and Tosfos here in Shabbos Kuf Gimel alludes to. Maybe the other working pshat in the Gemara may be as follows. What malach are we talking about in Sukkot Lamed Gimel? We're talking about the malacha of Makah B'Patish. Makah B'Patish may be a radically different malacha than almost the other 38 malachas in Torah. What does Makah B'Patish mean? Asiyas Kli, I'm making, putting the final touches and making a utensil. The making of a utensil, the notion of Asiyas Kli, is not an objective statement. It means, now I have a Kli, great, that's wonderful. Other malachas, either I wrote the letters or I didn't write the letters. Either I plowed the field, I didn't plow the field. Either I planted, I didn't plant. Either I harvested, I cooked the chicken, I didn't cook the chicken. When it comes to Makah B'Patish, making the Kli, Tikkun Kli, the very notion of a Kli very much depends on the Kavanas Agavra. We know this actually from Michos Tuma, very, very clear, Tuma V'Tara. A Kli is Makabal Tuma. How do you know whether something's a Kli or not? What defines whether something is a Kli? It depends upon Gemar Malacha. Was it complete? Was it done? Was it completed already? Wait a second. Wasn't completed or not? Who defines when it's completed? So the din is the bailam, the owner. If I made this, I took this piece of pottery, and for me it's over, it's done, finish it, reach Gemar Melacha, that's a clean, it's not the Tuma. If somebody else has the same piece of pottery, and for them it's not, we were planning on using the pottery for something else. So the pottery in the state that it's in now is not royal lekach to serve as a kli for them. A siyas a kli very, very much is a result of a person's intent. So if that's the case, that a siyas a kli is part of a person's intent, so then wait a second, maybe the whole parsha of segregation doesn't really speak to Asiyas Kli, to Machmir Patish. The only thing you have to ask the guy when it comes to Machmir Patish, were you planning on doing this or not planning on doing this? If you were actively planning on doing it, that's a Malacha Machmir Patish. If you weren't actively planning on doing it, that's not Machmir Patish. So when the Gemara says, L'tzrich Nisa Shana Charitne, the Gemara is not tilting about the nuances and details of what kind of segregation is it. Is it nichel and lo nichel? The raisa, the rabban and arach. We missed a boat, says Rashi. Tosfos quotes the possibility. We missed a boat legamri. What the Gemara is addressing is a totally different issue. The Gemara is saying, lo tzricha dizel shana charita means this is not what you want to do. You're not interested in doing this. You're not interested in making this clay. You don't need this clay. So what do you want to make mechaya for? You want to make mechaya al segregation? What's up, segregation? Who's talking about, who talks the language of segregation in the Malacha of Machmir Patish? Machmir Patish doesn't depend upon lumda shavuritz with segregation, right? Do you want it or do you not want it? If you don't want to do it, it's not called Asiyas HaKli, it's not called Machmir Patish B'chlal. So we've been draining a cup and turning the world upside down to try to figure out a point there, try to figure out a way to sneak out of the Malacha, come a group of Rishonim and say, you don't have to sneak out of anything. It was never a block in the first place. It didn't even get started. There's nothing to. It didn't even get started. There's nothing to discuss because Machmir Patish doesn't even lend itself to the parasha of segregation. That's the shot. This Gemara in Sukkah Lamed Gimel has no bearings in our sugya. Zero bearings in our sugya whatsoever. So again, so we're back to square one. We have Machlekes Tarzim the Aruch. We know that segregation is not a derai. So that you can't argue. It's a Shabbos. We want to know, can we go to the next ball to say that it's mutlach achila? Yorach said yes. Taisa said no. How do you get around the Gemara and Sukkot Lamed Gimel, Gemara? So Taisa said it's only to our opponent anyway. We go to Lomdus and that. Now we're having an alternative shot from Rashi and appears in Taisa also that we'll learn the wrong Sukkot. In the end of the day, it's not even Psychrasia Sukkot B'chol. There may be another way out of Gemara and Sukkot Lamed Gimel, another mitigating factor. And that is, let's not forget, Sukkot. In the Gemara in Sukkah, there is the fact of Mokom Mitzvah. It is the first day of Sukkot. And the person, in theory, could use these Hadassim. Now, we know that there are many, many Isurim that were lifted by Chazal Mokom Mitzvah. Not everything. Mokom Mitzvah is not a free-for-all. But generally, the Raises aren't lifted. But many, many Derabbanans are lifted by Mokom Mitzvah. Could one argue, and the answer is yes, because some Yishev do argue, actually tells us, argues it in other places in Sukkah, that maybe under normal circumstances, segregation of Michele is maybe problematic, but Mitzvah may be a mitigating factor. Mitzvah may trump a lot of Yisroel and Derabbanan, this one included. So that's another route to go down. So we have many, many routes to go down. So again, we basically presented two Gemaras tonight, the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Gimel, the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Lamed Gimel. We presented everyone agrees to that segregation of Michele cannot be a derais. That job is Kuf Gimel B'lishim Sofek. The Machlek is Tosin the Aruch, whether it becomes Mutter or not, or remains Asim in the Rabbanan. We have Rabbi Chana with the Lomdus, depending on what you think segregation is all about. We had Tosin's challenge about, well, what do you do with the Gemara and Sukkah? At the end of the day, the Gemara and Sukkah is telling you that it's Mutter. How can it be Mutter? So either you go down Tosin's route of the Rabbanans, or you go with all the Lomdus that ties in the Mordechai and Mechaschinuch, or you go down the route of maybe it's not a psikresha. Psikresha doesn't speak to me in Malachis Machmir Patish. That's what Ashim Tosis also quote. Or maybe you go down the route of Tosis and Sukkah says maybe Mokom Mitzvah mitigates everything. So at the end of the day, we really only focused on two Gemaras tonight. We focused on the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Gimel, the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Lamed Gimel. There's a whole nother part of the sugya
Another thing is going to throw a whole new perspective on the sugya, and that's the sugya in Masechet Zvachim Bech Tzadi Aleph. So I told everybody to bring the Gemara in Zvachim Tzadi Aleph. We have to put them on hold until next week. Hope mention next week we can begin to read the Gemara in Zvachim inside. We'll give you just quickly a coming highlights of next week. So the Gemara is discussing not even a Shabbos at this point. The Gemara in Zvachim and Tzadi Aleph and Beis is talking about the issue of Kibui Eish HaMizbech. It says in the Torah, for Eish HaMizbech to go below Sichbe. Eish Tamid to Kalam Zbech lo Sichbe. A Mechabe Eish HaMizbech is like it. And this is their eyes to extinguish, even to partially extinguish part of the flame in the Mizbech. So the Gemara is a whole discussion. Part of the Aveda in the Beis HaMikdash may be under certain circumstances, a person may be bringing korban nesachim, bringing wine that's poured on the mizbech, and it's not 100% clear which kind of different wines are brought at different times. Some of the wine may actually have to be poured on the mizbech, which raises a whole red flag. How in the world could I pour wine on the mizbech? Isn't that a violation of the mechabe eish mizbech? By definition, aren't I going to be extinguishing some of the flame in the mizbech? So I'm going to raise a whole red flag about that. Is pouring wine on the mizbech an issa deraisa mechabe eish mizbech? So, well, wait a second. Is that what I want to do? Is that my goal? Is that a Darshan Miskaven? Is it a Psikresha? Is it Psikresha Lo Nichalei? So, is it, it's not Shabbos, it's called Tarakula. Does that change things? Oruch Toysus, Smoke a Mitzvah. We got a lot of factors swirling around. Hopefully, that's him next week. We're going to take everything that we spoke about this week in terms of the almost the easiest sugyas, the Shabbos and the Sukkah, the Mayim Masechtas, and hopefully, that's him next week, plug all this in to say the Kutchim. So we have to learn hopefully a little bit of sugyan zvachim next week. It's got us familiarize a little bit with the kutchim dimension of the sugya, and then try to extract the part that's relevant for us in terms of putting the final touches on the sugya in Sukkah Daflam again. Hopefully, from next week we'll be able to do so. A big shout to everybody for bearing with us. I know it wasn't like the most optimal conditions here from the Shia, but Baruch Hashem, I still got a little bit of charge left on my phone, not that much left. So I have to just salvage whatever.